Light 104.7 and 1570 AM WVTL.
Where we can restore an economy where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same set of rules.
State of the Union took place last night. President Barack Obama speaking. We're on the line right now with noted historian David Petrugia. His current book, 1948, about the presidential election of that year when it was widely reported that Harry Truman gave them hell. What do you think, David? Is that what Barack Obama is giving right now?
I think it is. I think that you often see that these presidential elections and State of the Union addresses have a political agenda. I don't think there's anything unusual about that. I do think that what you saw was a lot of sticking the sharp stick in the eye of Congress, challenging them to often come up with really unspecified or to rubber stamp unspecified proposals, send me a bill on this, send me a bill on that, and I'll sign it, as opposed to here is my proposal, and let's work together to get this on the books.
That's been a frequent criticism of the president, that he seems to let the Congress work things, or has it, I don't know, what do I know, and then lets the Congress work things out, then it kind of comes in at the end.
Right. That's what happened with a lot of the debt ceiling things. It happened with his trademark piece of legislation, health care, which was barely mentioned, which was very interesting. That was one of the things, you know, the dog not barking in the night, as in the old Sherlock Holmes story. How little he, it was something like 20 words or 34 words devoted to health care, how that would be implemented, that still has to be done. So one would think that would be on the agenda, and yet it was not.
Now, a couple of the punditry accounts that I saw, just briefly, one from BBC, one from NPR. BBC this morning, their lead was that Obama was not as fiery as had been thought. You know, that, you know, he didn't give maybe the Republicans as much room to attack him for being partisan because he wasn't. Are they wrong?
The first reports I saw were on that, and I think the more people looked at it or it sunk in, we saw that, or we saw more analysis coming in that it was more partisan. It's kind of difficult for someone from Harvard to be as fiery as, say, Huey Long, so that even when he does resort to the partisanship label, it's more subdued. I think that one of the things that was the most remarkable line in the speech, where he said, no bailouts, no handouts, no cop-outs, and yet at the beginning of the speech, he's taking credit for the General Motors bailout.
Well, the other punditry I saw came from NPR, which I know may not be your favorite radio network, but NPR said that Obama did, in fact, kind of going along with what you're saying, that Obama did take a different line than Bill Clinton did in 1996, when Clinton basically put out his arms, in a sense, and embraced the Republican Party ideas and said, we got to have less government, we got to reform welfare, and then he got reelected.
Yeah, there's been some talk about whether this was, he was channeling Dick Morris and triangulation, but I think that's a pretty thin gruel. The most enthusiastic applause he got, the standing ovation which seemed the loudest, because I think the Republicans joined in on that, was when he quoted Abraham Lincoln regarding the people doing everything that they could and government stepping out of the way. Yet, if you looked at the proposal after proposal, it would be difficult to say where he was saying government would step out of the way. Instead, it was we're going to get down to even telling the states what to do in regards to how long kids can stay in high school or whatever. So again, it was what you often hear in regards to these addresses, whether it's a Republican president or a Democrat president, is laundry lists. So you have this laundry list of proposals, none of which were really scaling back government or getting out of the way or growing the economy that way, so that this form of triangulation was not really backed up by, and it was a disconnect between that and the laundry list in the speech.
By the way, my right-wing sister-in-law called me when I was half asleep last night, and we didn't argue, David, but she was telling me, and I'm just curious, it's completely off the topic, or somewhat off the topic, she was telling me that her idol, Bill O'Reilly, has written a history book about Abraham Lincoln, and that it's great. Have you seen the Mr. O'Reilly's book about Lincoln?
I have not seen that book. My field of expertise is largely 20th century American history, although I've been known to do some other stuff, but that's one book I have not checked in on. It's certainly a big bestseller, and it's really I find it interesting from two standpoints. One is somebody who now plies his trade as a historian, but also someone who, since I was a little kid in Amsterdam up on the hill, has loved American history, that there is this resurgence in that. I think that's a very remarkable and a very positive thing, that so much about American history, and particularly with the founding fathers, is now really front and center of American interest.
We're talking with David Petrugia, Amsterdam native, former Amsterdam alderman, now historian, his latest book, 1948, about the 1948 election. I probably asked you this really at the beginning, but I'll maybe sort of ask it again. So did Obama make the grade here? Has he risen to Harry Truman levels in terms of hanging on to his job?
Well, Truman's actually was a much wider-ranging series of proposals. One of the things that Truman does is he devotes a lot more to a national health care program. He talks about raising the minimum wages. He talks about putting more people on Social Security. It's actually a much bigger government program and a much more ambitious program than Obama's. So when people come away from this, will this be the blueprint mm-hmm. for reelection? I think in one sense it will be, because we're going to continue to see this debate on shared sacrifice or raising taxes on the wealthy, however one wishes to define this. I think this is what he's going to run on, and the rest of the stuff was the stuff that I think you're supposed to put in a State of the State message, where the what you've been working on, but it's nibbling around the edges, yeah. That the theme will be this taxation or class warfare or whatever you want to call it.
I think you made a good point a while back. I mean, there's just something about Obama, and I tend to like him, but he's not very good at rousing people like Clinton was, or maybe Truman was.
No, Clinton was really good. I mean, whether you want to call him Slick Willie or whatever, but he had a way of empathizing with people. I don't see that so much with Obama. There is a question of whether he's a cool character or a cold character. Recently, we've seen reports coming out of the White House, not from conservative or Republican journalists, talking about how he doesn't seem to like people. How he's not connecting with his fellow Democrats in the Congress or in Washington, and I think that kind of shows through. There's a serious remoteness about him, and you could even see it. It was interesting though, seeing him come in, walking past the congressman coming in. He seemed very distant. As he was going out, he seemed more animated. He was much more, maybe he was just looser, maybe he was nervous going into it, but you could see that sort of remoteness as he was coming in past some of the congressmen.
Do you have anything to say about the Republican response? I don't want to
leave. I'm a big fan of Mitch Daniels, and I thought for the brevity brevity is not such a bad thing at that hour.
No.
And you can go on and wear out your welcome real quick. Daniels has a way of distilling a lot of information in a very cogent and compelling way. I don't think he minced words. I thought he covered a lot of ground. People criticize him for being very dry. But this is a fellow who knocked out the first incumbent, I think, in 50 years in the Indiana governorship, and then in a bloodbath year for Republicans, was easily elected. And he's talked the talk and walked the walk. I like him a lot. If the Republicans deadlock between Gingrich, Romney, and whoever, and that looks like that is looking increasingly likely, something which was unlikely a couple weeks ago, now looks like, maybe there should be another person in the mix. I think the party and the country could do a lot worse than Mitch Daniels because he's done wonders in Indiana.
Well, David,
and he also is very experienced in Washington, which maybe that means you're a Washington insider or not, but it also means you know where the bodies are buried and you know how to fix things.
David Petruccia, I thank you very much for joining us. I do appreciate your coming on today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. Have a good day.
Oh, and I wanted to say something. My condolences regarding Steve Fitz.
Well, thank you. And, yes, this, of course, was Steve Slott. We haven't mentioned that, but yes. And the services will be tomorrow night, the calling hours and the services for Steve.
I had the pleasure of producing a film for WMHT some years ago on baseball.
You know, I'm glad you brought that. I knew that, but I kind of forgotten that. That's true. He was the announcer for your documentary on baseball history.
That's right. As I was going through it and thinking about who to put on as the voiceover for that, who to hire, and we could have used someone on staff or something, and I went to Don Rogerson and I said, look, here's a guy, a real professional who was there, who I think we will catch something in his voice of something that was there, as opposed to someone who's just,
sure,
you know, going through the motions. And we hired Steve. I don't think he was doing a lot of radio or much work at that point, and it sort of jump-started his, you know, I saw him doing more commercials and voiceovers after that point. And he did a wonderful, wonderful job with that film, and I never regretted bringing him on board for that.
What's the title?
It's called Local Heroes, Baseball on Capital Region Diamonds. It hasn't been on WMHT in quite a while, as far as I know, but certainly, you know, had stuff about Amsterdam and the rug makers and all the other folks who passed through this area, the Tommy Lasordas and the Ralph Kiners, and even going back to the 19th century when one of the seminal figures in baseball was a fellow out of Fort Johnson and Amsterdam called Nick Young, who I'm sure you've probably written about.
No.
Because you've written about all kinds of stuff Amsterdam history.
Well, it doesn't ring a bell, but maybe I've written about it. I forget these things. That's why I write them down.
That's why you have to, particularly at this stage.
Yeah. Well, thank you, David. I appreciate the words and the connection that you had with Steve Fitz. Have a good day.
Okay, you too.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care.